All right. Thank you all for being here today. Commissioner's Court is now in session. Commissioner Riley.
Judge, would you mind if I say just a couple of words?
No, absolutely. If you would, please.
Last couple of months, I've been a little preoccupied with some stuff, and I want to thank the Commissioner's Court, the judge, and the other commissioners for having my back while I was gone.
Absolutely.
But whether you like it or not, I'm back.
Well, we welcome you back, Commissioner.
But thanks for all the prayers and the thoughts, and I got through it, so we're all good.
All right.
Thank y'all, though.
We have missed your thoughtful ways. We appreciate it so much. Commissioner Riley.
I'd also like to say a couple of words. Longtime employee, Montgomery County. Some of y'all may remember Jerry Matthews from, he worked for the sheriff's office for a while. Then he went to work over at Precinct 2 with Malcolm Purvis and Craig Doyle. He was there for a couple of years after I got there. Well, I don't know all the details. I just know that he's been in the hospital for about the last 10 days, and he passed away last night. I'd like for everybody to keep them in your prayers as we go through what we're going through right now today. So,
rest in
all
peace,
right.
Jerry.
Rest in peace.
Yes.
If we can, let's all stand for prayer. Commissioner, would you lead us in prayer?
Yes.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Lord, we ask that you watch over us as we go through this trying times. Lord, we ask that you protect each and every one of us. Lord, we know that we've got some strainful days go ahead of us, and Lord, we ask that you help us get through those. But again, we thank you for each and everything that you do. Lord, continue to bless our first responders, our men and women overseas and here at home that are doing their best to protect this country and this nation. And Lord, we ask that you continue to bless each and every one of us. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
We would do our pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let the record reflect that all are present here with us today. Do I have a motion to approve our court agenda this morning?
Move.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Are there any citizens who would like to make comments on anything on our agenda today? All right. If there are none, then let's go immediately to number 8 on our agenda, emergency management. In this particular issue, there are a number of things that are going to come up. The one of vital importance to us has to do with our emergency declaration. As we talk about that, I would like to say to the community, to thank our community and praise our community for, as difficult as it has been, the sacrifices that they have had to make in order to implement this stay-at-home order. As you know, this particular virus does not, has no immunity, and there is no vaccine. And so the only way that we're able to fight this is through some form of social distancing, which we all know can be painful. It has been painful. But I just want to thank our community for stepping up, even in a difficult time, to do this. In light of this, we're watching everything very close. What we don't want is to come off of this too quickly with the understanding that it could potentially spike back up, especially in light of the availability of testing. But please understand, I think I speak on behalf of all of us in the court, that we understand that you're hurting. We understand that every one of us, as we stay home on the weekend, as we begin to see and think for ourselves about the future and what is taking place, that this can have a tremendous psychological, negative psychological effect. And so I would encourage you that we are watching. We will wind this down as quickly as we are able to do it. And but that in all of this, we know that you're hurting. And I think I speak for all of us in saying that. And as we move forward today on our current emergency declaration, I do want to say that that there is a distinction between, so you know, between our emergency declaration and orders. The emergency declaration is put into place and is ratified by our commissioner's court. Generally happens in 30-day increments so that we can take advantage of procurement from FEMA or whoever is going to be helping us, the government, and the various things that we are able to recoup our funding from. But it goes in 30-day increments. The reason for this today is that our order ends on the 11th, which will not come in time for our next commissioner court. That's why we had to meet today. And so we are, the first item on the agenda is that we renew our emergency declaration, which would go for another 30 days and put us at May 11th. But please understand, that is not an extension of the order. We will keep that in place, even if we decide to back down on the order as we look at the numbers and see that they are flattening out so that we wouldn't have to keep going. It doesn't make us keep the order in place. So with that in mind, I'm going to make a motion to include our resolution that you all have, a motion to approve the resolution and extend the emergency management declaration for those purposes. I make a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion?
That all goes from when to when?
It goes from the 11th to the 11th.
From April the 11th
to May 11th.
And with the understanding that could be changed.
Not the order now. It's the the emergency declaration. We want to be able to recoup all of our costs in this whole thing. Again, if I'm looking at this and watching it very close, we've already seen that it's not going exponentially like we were told. I've talked to each of the hospital administrators, and they're not seeing that spike right this second. Now, again, we haven't seen the numbers today. We'll watch the rest of this week, and we have commissioner's court next week again. But just so you know, the object here is not to just arbitrarily keep it open as long as we want. We know that people are hurting. We know that our economy is in a difficult situation, and there are possibly some modified ways to dial this back down. But again, today, that's not the case. This is strictly to extend the emergency orders. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you. Now, this is a open, take appropriate action, including immediate action, in this, that there is there anyone else that has something that they want to do in relationship to this particular item that we can talk about today?
I do, Judge.
Okay.
If we would.
Commissioner Metz?
I'd like, the CAC has done an outstanding job, as always, in working with the food bank and others to support the community, and I'd like to present a motion to move $25,000 from the Precinct 4 budget to the CAC line item to support their efforts during this Chinese virus pandemic and approve the First Amendment to the public service contract with Crisis Assistance Center. I move.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
That's the Crisis Assistance Center?
Yes, sir.
What if... do they support the food bank and that?
They're working together closely now, okay. And this is in support of their efforts over there for Precinct 4. What you guys do, if you want to do something similar, I'd certainly support that, but it's not required. This is just what we're trying to do. They've always been very helpful.
Food bank is kind of the center hub for the distribution of these various other nonprofits for food.
Well, I didn't know whether. Yeah. What he was doing would affect those guys, too. I didn't know how that would tie
this together. This is from me to the Crisis Assistance Center.
Is this part of this 8B?
No.
No, that's
is this
different.
Item on the agenda?
We fund the Crisis Assistance Center as part of our public service agreements during budget every year. And this is one particular amendment that our office worked with Commissioner Metz's office to give them an extra $25,000 right now for Precinct 4, if you guys are so inclined to approve that.
Yeah.
Do we know how they stand on their budget? I mean, do we need to know that, or is this just something you're trying to do for Precinct 4?
This is something that he's trying to do for Precinct 4, and what we've done is earmark his funds for Precinct 4 crisis assistance.
Well, I was and I was thinking yesterday, talking to some of my guys about doing the same, something
same
similar
thing
for the food bank.
Sure.
I don't know where they stand.
Right.
I know they're getting hammered.
And we can work with you to do the same type of thing if you'd like to
do
that for Precinct 2.
Yeah, I want to do something like that.
Okay.
Now, just do you want to wait?
If the CAC,
and look
are they short funded?
Do it in the next commission.
Do they need help?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I didn't ask them about that particularly, Commissioner. I called them. I wanted to do some stuff for Precinct 4 over there from secondhand information that they're all.
I think what I'd like
I'd
to
like
do.
I'd like to do the same thing.
Okay.
I think I'm going to wait till the 11th, but it's probably too late to get anything on the agenda now.
We're looking at the agenda for the 11th today.
And I want to look at some. I want to get with the 14th. Food bank and see where they're at or anybody else that may need some assistance right now. I mean, I know there's different people that are just getting hammered. So
we can add.
Do you want to wait till the 11th? Are you okay with that? You want to do
the 14th?
I thought we had a meeting on the 14th.
The 14th. It is the 14th. Sorry.
14th. I'm
sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. 14th.
Yeah, I'll wait till then, Amy.
Right. So,
Jason, if you
this
would, please.
This is just for this one motion, though, for Commissioner
okay.
Metz.
Okay, that's fine.
Commissioner Riley, if you want to put something on the agenda for the 14th, we can still do that.
I don't know how to word it. I don't know who all we're going to look at trying to do something.
I can
I'll
help
get with
you.
Amy and we'll,
okay.
get
we'll talk about any and all action arising out of, if that's what you want to do,
okay.
COVID
and
our public service agreements.
Would you keep me in that conversation?
Of course.
Okay, so we need a.
Gentlemen, we have a motion. We have a second. We're discussion right now. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Commissioner Metz. All right. Homeland Security.
Good morning, gentlemen. Under 8B, there is a resolution to memorialize the $30,000 transfer from contingency to OEM that was done on April the 2nd. Also, there's a part of that resolution is to seek additional funding. At this time, I'm asking for an additional $100,000 from contingency to OEM so we can continue with our response to this disaster.
What exactly do you have planned for the $100,000?
The vast majority of the expense thus far has been for procuring PPE for our departments and first responding agencies across the county, as well as testing, which has yet to arrive, but we've procured it at this time.
So I guess, at least for me, I'd like to kind of have an idea of what, for testing, what the
sure.
plan is going to be if we get this. First of all, we grant $100,000 and you're able to find tests. What is the plan going to be for rolling that out? How would it happen? Where would it be? What type of test are you looking to buy? Does it make sense to go that route now? Should we buy tests and stockpile them for round two?
I don't anticipate additional tests being purchased at this time because the back order on the tests we've already purchased will come in after this first proposed wave, the schedule wave. So it will be something that we'll have on stock if we have another round of this. Hopefully we do not. But we are burning through PPE at a high rate right now. The sheriff's office and other agencies across the county, besides the inmates in the jail, using PPE daily. So these funds will allow us to continue to procure those items because they are delayed in shipment. So we're having to procure in anticipation of what we're using to have enough supply coming in on a regular basis. We're not getting adequate supply from the state because they're having the same difficulty of procuring it themselves like we are. So.
And this anything that we purchase would be used for Montgomery County employees. It's not going to go to other entities at this point.
As of right now, several cities we act as their EOCs as well. So some of these smaller cities could put in an emergency receive request that we could fulfill immediately, and then we would get it either back from them as a star request.
I think
request
we need to help them. That's part of what we're doing.
And that gets refunded from the.
We're working out the logistics. You know, we have a purchasing agent in the EOC at all times with us right now, helping us with this. And we're tracking this so we can either recoup our costs from FEMA or we're recouping it with an interlocal from the various cities. But as of right now, we haven't had a large number of stuff go out like that.
How long can you store these test kits?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'm assuming that they're stored at proper temperature. They could last for quite a while. But The current kits we have on back order are kind of the older version. There's a lot of newer technology that's emerged since those have been ordered. We have not attempted to purchase those just yet.
And where are we?
The hospital district is doing that.
Where are we testing right now?
There's the hospital district and the health district have a list. I think it's 27 facilities across the county that are testing, all seven hospitals, private clinics, labs, physicians' offices. Current testing is backlogged. If you get a test today, it can take anywhere from 2 to 11 days to return. So sometimes the test results are tracking way behind in the data. But that's,
are we,
that's a result of the labs being backlogged.
Is our county clinic staffed with some tests?
Yes. The county employee clinic, as well as their private clinics that are open to the public across the county, have those tests.
Yeah.
So, and I'm hearing everybody's using the same test. I'm hearing some of these private places are using tests that we're not sure whether they even.
None of the tests are 100% accurate. None of them.
So we don't have a test anywhere that's that we know.
They range from 74 to 79% accuracy. Depending on what test is being used.
I move.
Second.
All right. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Jason.
Motion carries. Jason, thank you.
Jason.
Good job. Appreciate it. All right. At this time, we're going to go into executive session. The court recessed for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D. Article 551.071. Thank you all, and we'll be back in a few moments. For waiting for us, we're going to resume from our executive session. And Amy, if you and Dodie would come up and share with us what we're considering here for our.
I'm right here. I'm social distancing with you. So. I think what we need to discuss is...
That doesn't sound like Dodie.
Oh, do you want Dodie to...
It don't matter. Somebody move on.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go. Go ahead. Speak into the mic, Dodie, if you would, please.
All right. Is it talking now?
Yes.
Ah.
Thank you.
All right. What we'd like to discuss is putting together a resolution order for the next commissioner's court regarding some changes into what was approved 2 weeks ago in commissioner's court on coding... on accruing vacation and personal time for people that are on Code 032. So employees must work 24 hours in a two-week pay period to accrue their vacation and personal time accruals. The employee can work any increment of time to accrue those 24 hours in that two-week pay period.
Is the court agreeable to that? And if so, then I'll bring a resolution order back at the next
court. We'll vote on it
when I bring the resolution and order back at the next court.
That seems very clear and concise, Dodie.
Well, thank you, Commissioner.
Through some deliberation, that's a good job.
Thank you. If an employee has greater than 56 hours coded to Code 032 in a two-week pay period, they will not be eligible to accrue vacation or personal time. They will still have their sick leave, but no vacation or accrual.
That's perfect.
Amy?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. If an employee is working at the Office of Emergency Management during their regularly scheduled workday, the hours the employee will code that time to hours worked.
To include a holiday time?
No, because they wouldn't be scheduled to work during
the
holiday.
Yeah, they wouldn't be scheduled to work. If an employee assists the Office of Emergency Management on a day that is not their regularly scheduled work day, such as a Saturday or a Sunday or a county holiday, they will not be coding that time as worked. It'll be strictly volunteer.
And could be listed on their Employee of the Month recognition form.
Sure. Also, in the process of going through these accruals and such, Human Resources has had to create a new timesheet for both exempt and non-exempt employees that we are going to require all departments to use during this disaster time. And what it will show on the timesheet is if any hours of code 0355 has been used, so we can be able to go back and deduct the 80 hours that has been dropped into their bank for COVID-related illnesses or child care reasons. Amy, you have anything you want to add to that?
Right, and this is just to meet the new federal laws that were passed for the 80 hours of sick time so that we can track those and then at the end of the year remove what hasn't been used. So it's not something that will carry over. It'll actually expire pursuant to federal law on December 31st.
So these are the items that
so I'm going to
under discussion that you'll put into a resolution.
Right. If the court wants is agreeable to this, I'll bring a resolution and order back at the next court that'll address these items and amend the disaster policy for this current disaster.
Short of voting, I'm good on it. If you choose.
So the effective date would be the beginning of this last pay period.
So April.
April the
7th? No.
So.
It'd have to be
April 4th.
Just as a point of order, we don't need to present a motion and vote on this. We won't do that until next week.
No, if you, we will memorialize it, make it effective April 4th in the resolution order that'll be before you next Tuesday.
Okay.
Got it.
Good.
I have a question. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So for coding purposes, if someone is working at home, they code those hours 001 or 002?
If they are working, they are working, regardless of the location. So if they are working, it is 001 or 002, yes.
So when we have an employee working at home,
yes,
and let's say she begins actively working at 9 and works till noon, and then actively goes back to work at 1 and works to 4, she would have 6 hours worked and 2 hours of code 032, or is it just a given? And here's the reason I'm asking this is, when you look at a county clerk's timesheet, they're going to show that they worked 40 hours in a pay period and 40 hours at 032 because we are using a team approach so that we've cut down the number of people in the office. When you look at some other departments, theirs is going to look like they worked a full 80 hours from home. Personally, I feel like it's important to note that these people worked on site versus the people that worked on home. Now, y'all may not feel that way, but it's hard to look at and say.
We are asking people to, and we are limiting people from coming in accordance with the CDC recommendations. So certain departments, they can actually work and be productive from home. But if they're working, we need to pay them, according to the Department of Labor, as they are working. And so if wherever they're working from, if they're not working and they're on watching movies and sitting at home just because they can't come into the office, because we've closed our facilities, or for whatever reason, that is what Code 32 is from. And so they shouldn't be coding 80 hours of work if they're not actually working.
Okay, that's what I wanted to clear up, because there is some confusion about that.
Right.
Just that I log
I've been
into
sent
my
home, so I'm, yes, I've been sent home, so I have 8 hours.
Right.
No, that's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be actual hours worked.
Okay. Well, as it relates.
Regardless of where they are.
As it relates to topic at hand and our discussion that we've just has taken place for what we need to do in this immediate moment.
Right. If you would, you could go ahead and make a motion based on what Dodi said, and then I will memorialize that if you'd like to.
Okay.
To direct me to prepare a resolution in order which would make this effect.
Do we have a motion?
Yes. Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any more discussion?
One thing. Well, Dodi in general, and one, I think this whole court knows how hard you and your whole team have worked on trying to stay current on employee rights and all of the issues being pushed down on us from the federal government. So we thank you for that. And number two, I would just try to, and Darren, I'm not trying to pick on you and your department, but if I think every department, especially elected officials right now, they, you know, kind of stay in your own lane as far as what your timesheets look like versus somebody else's. Everybody don't, because Dodi and them got real, a lot of people calling last week over somebody's doing it this way and we're doing it that way. And, I mean, Dodi can kind of sort all that out, but it's been her office was slammed Friday. And as long as the people are working, and, this is such a fluid situation. We're trying to figure it out every day. And some of this, what we're working on now, are things that y'all brought directly to us to try to clean up some of this process, but just kind of messy and we're all doing the best that we can and making the decisions we can and just ask.
It's brand new territory. We know that, and we're getting through it. Yes.
We spend a lot of time and money and effort setting up people to work from the house or work from somewhere else. So, and I understand what you're saying there, and I really do. So if they're at home, you know, they're working. If they've got the stuff set up to go, we set up computers. We set up workstations. We did all that. So.
Right.
We're asking them not to come out. We're asking them to stay off the streets. So that's what we're trying to do.
Any more discussion on this? Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Cody, thank you very much.
Thank
Amy,
you.
We appreciate it so much.
Thanks.
At this time in our order of our agenda, we have any citizens who are here that would like to make any comments concerning basically anything having to do with our agenda or anything else. All right. If there is not, is there anything else miscellaneous?
I move we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much, and we will see you at our next court.